Good morning. Welcome each of you to the Lord's house this morning. It's a joy to see each of you and be able to worship here in person once again. Well, folks, I want to give a little shout out this morning to Pastor Dennis for his leadership during this rather unprecedented time in the history of the church and of the world itself. During our time of mandatory shutdowns of all social gatherings, Pastor Dennis learned a new software application so he could record an audio sermon for us each week. He also learned how to convert his email from Outlook to Gmail and to use the church email distribution list to send out prayer chain emails to all of us. Did you notice those emails come from his account now and not from Carol's? So I've learned through all of this, I've come to the conclusion that you can teach an old dog new tricks. In addition to all of this, hold on, there's more. In addition to all of this, Pastor Dennis kept our church afloat financially and led us in our reopening and social distancing procedures. I checked this out. There is no seminary class entitled Pandemic 101. So we certainly appreciate Dennis's leadership during these crazy times. Now, would you join me in a round of applause for Pastor Dennis? Hats off to you. He was wondering what that hat was doing up here. Well, folks, welcome again to each of you to the Lord's house this morning as we invite Andrew to lead us in our call to worship.
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. Come, let us praise the Lord. Let us sing for joy to God who protects us. Come, let us bow down and worship Him. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. He is our God. We are the people He cares for, the flock for which He provides. Let us sing our opening hymn number 276, We Gather Together, All Stanzas.
We gather together to ask for God's blessing, to turn to our wisdom surpassing our own. Powers that oppress us now cease to distress us. O God, be present with us and make your will known. Beside us to guide us, O God, we perceive you, ordaining, maintaining the power of life. Yes, yours be the glory. Let all tell the story. Our God be ever with us in gladness and strife. May all sing your praises, Redeemer triumphant. Defend us, befriend us, whatever may be. May your congregation escape tribulation. Your name be praised forever, O God, make us free.
We'll be about a moment of prayer. Loving God, we do give thanks once again for the privilege of in-person worship this morning. Lord, we continue to pray for those in our community that are impacted by the coronavirus and cannot be with us physically. We pray they might also experience closeness to you and to the people in their church families. As we begin our worship together this morning, we seek the living presence of the Holy Spirit as we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning, everyone. It's a joy to see you in the Lord's house as we gather for worship today. A number of people for us to remember as we journey through the new week. We want to lift up, first of all, that a celebration of life service has been scheduled for Harry Booth for this coming Saturday, the 1st of August. It will be at the Terrace Park Funeral Home. Members of Berry Christian Church are welcome to attend the visitation, which will be from about 9:30 till 10:30. But the service, which begins at 10:30, is for family members only due to the attendance restriction in place during the pandemic. Jean is certainly glad to be home now, and she was able to leave the hospital the latter part of this past week. We also lift up Grace Kimberling and Jill Gregory, as both of them are at North Kansas City Hospital dealing with health concerns. We also want to lift up Pam Roberts, as she has been having some health concerns as of late and is looking at talking with some specialists and other doctors. Among our church members, we're also mindful of Doug Gentry and Bob Knopf and Rihanna Ralston, Ted Gorman, Michelle Jacobo, Kathy Archer, Alex Chester, Betty Donahue, and Perla Mora. And family members that we are lifting up are Ellen Stewart's sister, Linda, Dave and Ardith Sain's nephew, Kent, Sue Effie's brother, Kenneth, Dottie Olson's grandson, Josh, and Warren Roberts' Barbara Holloman, who lives up in Washington State. Friends that we are remembering are Betty Donahue's friend, Nancy, and Nancy's sister Sharon, as well as Jean Cantola's friend Marion. So certainly a number of people that we continue to remember, and especially may we keep Jean in our prayers. We are so delighted that she was finally able to get over the COVID-19 virus. But again, we are aware that that's also what took her husband in the midst of these times we're living in. May we pray. Merciful and loving God, with humility we bow before your presence as we have the privilege to worship you this Lord's Day. For the abundance of blessings and your merciful redemption, we rejoice as we celebrate your love for us. Throughout the challenges we are facing in our nation and across the world, we are reminded that you are the one through whom we can find peace, constancy, hope, and reassurance. For as the book of Job reminds us, in the 36th chapter, "Behold, God is mighty, but does not despise any. He is mighty in strength and of understanding." And in Malachi chapter 3, "You declare to us that you do not change, and so the sons of Jacob are not consumed." And as Paul writes to the believers in Philippi in Philippians chapter 4, "We know that even in uncertainty, we need not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, we can present our requests to you." As a child takes the hand of a parent and is reassured while walking through a dark alley, we know, O God, that we can grasp your loving hand and find confidence and assurance, even as the forces of Satan may strive to overtake us. So we offer our petitions before you this Lord's Day, and may we be reminded from the book of James, chapter 1, that every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. We offer this prayer in confidence in the name of Christ our Lord, as we recite the prayer that he teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Some wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. And then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you, Andrew and Lenora. He knows how to fill a sanctuary with his voice, doesn't he? As we begin our time of communion, would you join me for the communion, or rather community reflection, which you'll find at the bottom of the first inside page of your bulletin. Jesus answered him, "Whoever loves me will obey my teachings." I have told you this while I am still with you. Peace is what I leave with you. Our hymn of contemplation is number 545. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. We'll do all stanzas.
Blessed thought, all words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand. Faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Lord, I would place my hand in thine, nor ever murmur nor repine. By water still or troubled sea, still 'tis thy hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand. He leadeth me, his faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won. Wave death's cold wave, I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Scripture reading I'd like to share with you this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew. It's the third chapter, beginning with verse 13, continuing through verse 17. At that time, Jesus arrived from Galilee and came to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to make him change his mind. "I ought to be baptized by you," John said, "and yet you have come to me." But Jesus answered, "Let it be so for now, for in this way we shall do all that God requires." And so John agreed. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. Then heaven was opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and lighting on him. Then a voice said from heaven, "This is my own dear Son, with whom I am pleased." May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Merciful and holy God, we're indeed grateful for the privilege to be in your house, to be drawn to your word, and to gain solace and understanding as we understand the depth of what the Scriptures have to say to us. and to truly understand that you have such great love for us that you want to have a most intimate and meaningful relationship with every one of us as your children. For this truth we give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. In our 316 series, I hope that you've realized just how much God truly loves us. God goes to great lengths to have a dynamic and meaningful relationship with every one of his children. From John 3:16 and then from 1 John 3:16, we've understood that God, in his great love for us, seeks our highest good by giving us the gift of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we, acknowledging this great gift, are compelled to seek the highest good of others. Let's remember our first 2:3:16 verses. Of course, the first one I hope you can recite with me. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then, of course, last week we looked at 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. This portion that I read and remember comes from what's called the Today's English Version. This is how we know what love is. Christ gave his life for us. We too then ought to give our lives for, and as we said last week, we could change that word brothers simply to others to be more inclusive, right? We should give our life to others. Now, our third message in this 3:16 series takes us to the beginning book of the New Testament, Matthew. In the very beginning of the gospel message, we not only see God's great desire to be intimately connected with us, but we also see that the powerful blessing of the Holy Spirit's presence is the means of that connection for Jesus and for his ministry. And this significant connection then gives us the great hint about the coming connection of the Holy Spirit with God's people at the time of Pentecost and certainly well beyond. The powerful presence of the Holy Spirit is described in our third 3:16 verse of Matthew chapter 3:16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. And then heaven opened up to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and lighting on him. Let's look closer at the verses selected for this morning's reading. Again, Matthew 3, beginning with the 13th verse. Matthew chapter 3 tells us of the preaching of John the Baptist. After a 400-year void in the voice of the prophets, John comes on the scene as the forerunner of the Messiah. He fulfills the Old Testament prophecies of Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5, and Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, as he is that voice shouting in the wilderness. And John must have known to some degree that his cousin Jesus was the promised Messiah. John proclaims a message of repentance and uses baptism as an outward expression of one's desire to be set right in relationship with God. Verse 13 tells us, at that time, Jesus arrived from Galilee and came to John at the Jordan to be baptized. But John tried to make him change his mind. I ought to be baptized by you, John said, and yet you have come to me. John the Baptist was hesitant to perform a ritual of repentance and purification upon Jesus, for he certainly must have thought that Jesus, as the Son of God, was without sin. This is why, in humility, John says in verse 14, I ought to be baptized by you. Yet in verse 15, we see that Jesus answered him, let it be so for now, for in this way we shall do what God requires. With absolute humility and obedience to God's plan for humanity's salvation, our Lord Jesus gave up his place in the heavenly realm and willingly chose to dwell among people of this earthly world. And ultimately, he became that final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of humanity's sin. By humbly taking on the role of a sinner in need of repentance, and by being baptized, he is setting an example for others to follow. Jesus was taking his first step toward the cross and his ultimate victory over even death itself. As the author of Hebrews reminds us in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, since the children, as he calls them, are people of the flesh and blood, Jesus himself became like them and shared their human nature. He did this so that through his death, he might destroy the devil who has the power over death. So the text goes on to tell us that John the Baptist agreed to baptize Jesus. Jesus was immersed into the waters of the Jordan River. This form of baptism is significant and is the reason why we baptize with a body of water, as you see here behind me in our sanctuary. For as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, when we go into the waters of baptism, it is as if our old self dies and we rise up out of the water, born anew in Christ. For as Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, verse 3, for surely you know that when we were baptized into union with Christ Jesus, we were baptized into union with his death. By our baptism, then, we were buried with him and shared his death in order that just as Christ was raised from death by the glorious power of the Father, so also we might live a new life. And, of course, that new life is a new spiritual life. It is through Christ's obedience to God's plan of salvation by first being baptized that we reach our key 3:16 verse for this morning's message. As again we've said, Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. Then heaven was opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and lighting on him. We see in this key verse that because of his obedience to God's plan, Jesus is blessed with a very vivid experience of affirmation from God. And he is indeed understanding that he's on the right track. First, the text tells us that heaven opened up to Jesus. This was an amazing, affirming experience for Jesus. For a moment, earth and heaven for Christ became one, surrounding Jesus and possibly even John the Baptist in that very moment. Those simple words are hard for us to grasp the significance of what is being experienced here. But we think to ourselves, wow, wouldn't it be really something if God's heavenly realm simply enveloped us in a moment? The truth is that we can, and we do even today experience such experiences. It's not exclusive just to Jesus. God speaks to us through the scriptures, but also God speaks to us through supernatural experiences. It doesn't happen very often, but they do happen. I've mentioned to you that before that when I was a child, I once awoke on a Saturday morning. I was walking from my bedroom to the living room while everyone else was still asleep. This was not a dream. I was awake. I stood up. I got out of bed. I'm walking toward the living room. It wasn't a very long walk. That hallway wasn't that big. But as I was walking, suddenly I heard a choir of angelic voices that filled the air. The sound was extraordinary. It was beyond hearing. And in that moment, it's as if heaven opened up. And what I felt in that moment, which only lasted a few seconds, was a profound level of peace. That's what I noticed most of all, just peace. And then as quickly as I heard those voices, and then really a powerful angelic choir, boom, it was gone. I've often wondered, why me? I don't know. But I think, again, it is one of those kinds of experiences where we see heaven opening up to humanity and helping us understand that heaven is not that far away from our earthly experience day to day. And I really think that when the scripture text is telling us here that heaven opened up to Jesus as he came up out of the waters of baptism, it was a powerful way for God to express affirmation to his Son that he was on the right track. And so step forward with confidence and assurance. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us could have that kind of experience? But again, even if we don't have those kind of experiences, the scriptures speak the testimony of them, do they not? And that we should celebrate. The second thing is that Jesus saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and is literally landing on him, if you will. Through the scriptures, a dove is a symbol of God's Holy Spirit and a symbol of peace. We first encounter a dove on Noah's Ark. It returns with an olive branch, also a symbol of peace, telling Noah that the raging storm had indeed passed and it was time to leave the ark. The presence of the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove gives Jesus an absolute and tangible, direct connection with the power and the presence of God at that very moment. And thirdly, as we move to the 17th verse of Matthew chapter 3, Jesus experiences a voice of affirmation, as the text tells us. Verse 17, then a voice said from heaven, "This is my own dear Son with whom I am pleased." It's interesting to note that at this point, God chooses to use portions of Old Testament text to express absolute affirmation to Jesus. "This is my own dear Son," actually comes directly from Psalm 2, verse 7. Jewish people of Jesus' day accepted this text as a description of the Messiah, the mighty King, who would come to fulfill God's salvation plan. Here, Jesus is hearing from God that he is the Messiah. And then God says, "With whom I am well pleased." This phrase comes directly from Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1, which is a portion of the text that describes the suffering servant. The entire verse states, "The Lord says, 'Here is my servant, whom I strengthen, the one I have chosen, with whom I am pleased. I have filled him with my spirit, and he will bring justice to every nation.'" You see, through his obedience to God's plan, by humbly taking on the role of a sinner, and by being baptized by John, Jesus is immensely blessed by a sign of God's living presence expressed through the Holy Spirit. It should fill our hearts and minds with great awe as we realize how God orchestrated this unique experience for Jesus' benefit and for ours. Matthew 3, verse 16 shows us once again just how much God desires to be in a very direct and intimate relationship, not only with his Son, but with each of us. What does this text have to say to you and me? It tells us that if we willingly are obedient to God's salvation plan, we too are intimately blessed with the presence of God's Holy Spirit, as was Jesus. In our own obedience to God's plan, heaven opens up for us. The Spirit of God dwells within us in a most unique way, and we can experience an intimate connection with God through the Holy Spirit. We remember from Acts chapter 1, verse 4, that before his ascension into heaven, Jesus said to his followers, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift I told you about, the gift the Father has promised. John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And as Acts chapter 2 tells us, as Pentecost unfolded, those believers and thousands more were blessed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as the text of Acts chapter 2 verse 38 tells us, then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And today, as we too are obedient to God's plan of salvation by humbly seeking God's forgiveness of our sin, as we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, and as we are baptized as an outward sign of obedience, heaven opens up for us. God's Holy Spirit becomes dynamically active in our daily lives. Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, beginning with the 15th verse, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments. I will give you another helper who will stay with you forever. He is the Spirit who reveals the truth about God." And we know also from John chapter 14, verse 26, that the Holy Spirit guides us. The text says, "The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and make you remember all that I have told you." We need to believe with certainty that the Holy Spirit is quite able and willing to speak to us through our conscious thoughts and to give us comfort and to give us guidance as we live our day-to-day lives. We need to believe the Spirit of God desires to guide our paths in ways that benefit others. All we need to do is simply be receptive, and the Spirit will speak to our consciousness. We need to believe that. Thus, we see our third 3:16 verse is also well worth remembering. Matthew 3:16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. Then heaven was opened up to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and lighting on him. And as the Apostle Paul expresses his final words to the Corinthian believers in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the 13th verse, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Do you know Christ? Is he your Lord and Savior? If you haven't made your confession of faith, if you've not been baptized, maybe that's what you really need to consider today by coming forward and making that confession and accepting the blessing of the Holy Spirit in a most powerful way. We turn to our hymn of invitation. It's "Trust and Obey." We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4, please, of number 556.
We walk with the Lord in the light of his word. What a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. May we offer a final word of prayer. Merciful and holy God, we give thanks for the privilege to have lifted up praise and worship to you. As we know with confidence, your Spirit abides with us to grant us a great measure of your peace, your comfort, and your guidance day by day. For this privilege to journey with you, we're indeed grateful as we depart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let it be.